Ho ho ho! Spodcast 17!
Ho 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 ho.
And merry festive stuff.
Ho ho ho.
For those listening to this in July, it is in fact the 21st of December.
Oh, it's Saturnalia then.
Oh, it is, it's Saturnalia. Yeah.
So we're actually on the proper Christmas. None of this made up arbitrary 25th crap.
Fantastic.
Okay.
So that means, have we got any slaves we can make into kings?
Oh, lumps of them round the back.
Where else would you keep them?
Yes.
For those wonderful listeners out there who don't quite understand what Saturnalia is, it's an ancient Roman festival where they turned everything topsy-turvy for a day. They celebrated, drank a lot, and the servants were served by the bosses, sort of thing.
So basically, what you do is you fire your boss and you earn dollar, dollar, dollar.
Exactly.
Which was excellent. Nice. It's the winter solstice.
Mm. Unless you're in Australia.
At which point, frankly, yeah.
I was chatting with an Australian friend.
Well, that was your first mistake.
Yeah. Megan. Hello, Megan. But no, different
not
Australian
Megan,
friend. Different.
Megan.
You have more than one Australian friend.
Yeah, it's quite sad. And he was explaining.
Megan's one of those wonderful names that's Megan in English, Megan in Australian, and Megan in America.
In America, yeah. So she's got an entertaining, unusual name.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
But no, my Australian friend was saying how they all do barbecues at Christmas.
Yeah, you have a barbecued turkey on the beach, man.
Stick another kangaroo on the barbie.
But the problem is the Christmas cards are all about snow, even down there. They're all about snow and Santa Claus in big furry things. And the Santa Claus that dress up in the malls have to dress up in the full Santa Claus regalia in the height of summer.
Which,
in a country that's not known for being cold ever, let alone at the height of summer.
Yeah. So Merry Christmas in Australia. Bung another prawn on the barbie and stuff.
And I hope it chokes you.
And while you're all downing your Victoria bitter. Because in Australia, they don't actually drink Castlemaine and Foster's. They drink stuff like VB and EB, which is emu beer and Victoria bitter.
There's some cracking Australian beers, actually, which I am absolutely sure I will be drinking more than my body weight of come Christmas Day, because I have my Australian New Zealander chum coming round to get drunk. Well, he phoned up and he said, "What are you doing Christmas Day?" And I said, "Nothing." And he goes, "Want to get drunk?" And I said, "Yeah."
Well done. I did that last night. It was our office party thing. Mm. And just champagne.
Boring.
Good champagne. And it's just the whole company in a pub with champagne pretty much on tap.
Nice.
Yeah, and we were there till 2 o'clock, came home straight after, got home by about 3:15, fixed the mail server.
Sent some emails.
No, I just fixed the email server so that because the mail server broke just as I was leaving or something, and they told me, the mail server's down. I thought, right, I can either fix it when I come staggering home drunk, or wake up at 8:30, get into work before everybody else, and fix it so that people can get on with their work.
Drunk!
So, yeah, drunken mail server fixing. Of course it's...
So you had the idea to go in and fix it drunk whilst you were still sober?
Yes.
Respect!
It's only
I normally have to be totally drunk before I make such stupid decisions.
That's not a stupid decision, that's perfectly reasonable.
I had to go into the office to change the stack of paper whilst printing a particularly large print run. and it just happened to coincide with my night at the Tech in Glasgow.
Oh, yes.
So I popped by the office because it was only around the corner, having been at the Tech. So I was in an absolute state, right?
Yeah.
Drunk wasn't like just the tip of the iceberg. I had a few of my goth mates hanging around with me, skulking in the corner because I couldn't turn all the lights on. So I went into the office, did what I needed to do, changed the paper and stuff. And as I was leaving, I thought, damn, I'm sober.
Oh, no.
I'd gone in and sobered up because it was the workplace and I was incredibly professional. And
damn, indeed.
I was gutted.
I'm not surprised.
Well, after all that snake bite at 88p a pint.
Yeah.
Then were the days.
I wonder if they still serve Bucky behind the bar at the Tech and the QM.
The QM. Almost.
Bucky is a Buckfast tonic wine.
Okay.
It's a specific tonic wine made by monks in Buckfast, in the southwest, I think, of England. Mm. And I think 90-something percent of their sales are in Glasgow and Hamilton and that sort of area. Strathclyde. It's Strathclyde.
I've never seen it for sale anywhere else. I've only ever seen Buckfast in Glasgow.
Geez a swally o Bucky.
It tastes like cold coffee followed by a sharp kick in the head.
With a hint of cough medicine.
Yeah.
And you can buy it in some ice cream vans in Scotland.
But it sounds very much like a Flaming Homer.
A Flaming Homer?
Yeah. You must have seen that episode of The Simpsons. Where he invents the drink that you have to set light to, and it's got Krusty's cough syrup in it.
Oh, Jesus.
The secret ingredient. Oh, someone just dropped off.
Well, judging by the noise, that was him.
It was, wasn't it? Shall we bring him back?
Yeah, nah. Yeah.
Failed. No, User not online.
Reinvite, he says. Reinvite.
I'm trying.
Connecting.
Failed. User not online. Failed.
Jared, sort your fucking life out. Well, except you can't hear this because you're not. But when he listens to it in July, he'll think, oh, I must sort my life out.
Yeah. God, I've got something flying around in here.
Let's have some dead air while we talk to Jared in IRC.
Yes,
I said, kill Skype, restart it.
Skype
and he
crashed.
Said, what the fuck? Oh, Skype God. Crashed, although he probably would pronounce that. Skypey crashed.
Skypey crashed.
With the words, the Skype with the huge letters B-E-T-A after its name is proving its beta status.
It's funny, I'm using the same version, I'm sure.
Yep, just dropped
off.
Does
it love the web?
Apparently it must.
Like a master.
So what was the last thing you heard then? So we can come and pick up where we left off.
The Flaming Homer.
Right. With the...
And it had Krusty's cough syrup in it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And that was the last thing I heard.
That was it, really.
Yeah, we didn't say much after that, other than...
He's gone.
Where's that loud hum gone?
filter that out.
You need a bigger flannel.
Yeah, I could just notch filter it out.
Must get larger flannel.
Yeah.
Dear Santa.
For those listeners out there who are trying to wonder what on earth he's talking about, I moved my G5 onto my dual processor. Dual 2 gigahertz G5, thank you, Spadge. I moved it up onto my desk, and it vibrates the table, so I put a dishcloth under the microphone to stop it from picking up the serious hum. This, for all of you out there, is what it sounds like when it's not on a cloth. Is that better? Can you hear the hum?
It is slightly worse.
But
only slightly. Probably back on the cloth. Only slightly, that's not good enough. You need to fix it.
But then, Jared, you always were known for your noticeable hum.
Ah ha ha ha!
Oh dear.
Oh, wonderful.
No, not so much. Anyway.
So yeah, Buckfast is the drink of
Bucks.
The Ned. It's a drink of the Ned. The Scottish Ned drinks Buckfast.
Yeah.
They also used to do
Thunderbirds behind the bar as well.
Thunderbird and Mad Dog 2020, if I'm not mistaken.
If you've ever been to a bar and asked for Thunderbird, you know you're in a bad way.
If you ever buy yourself a bottle of strawberry MD 2020 to drink before you go out, you must be poor.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember doing that when I was living up in Glasgow. Buy yourself a bottle of MD 2020 or Thunderbird, and you drink it because you can't afford the pub prices.
Well, you see...
No, you buy a £2 bottle of wine, then you drink down that before you go out. That's what we always
do. No. Thunderbird is fortified wine.
Ah.
Yeah, Thunderbird. Wine will get you pissed. Thunderbird will fuck you up.
Okay.
No, I mean, I wasn't particularly poor when I was in Glasgow. I was earning a good wage. Probably one of the last times I actually exposed my income. Because my rent was only 145 quid a month.
Blimey.
Not bad.
Yeah, and I was earning like 10 grand or something. Which, back in 1989, was a lot of money.
Especially up in Glasgow,
it wasn't a bad wage. I could afford to drink better. I just chose not to.
That's fair enough.
It's because you were a sad goth, what with it being 1989 and all that.
Yeah, I was quite a happy goth, thank you very much.
A happy goth?
Yeah.
Is that actually a thing?
Yeah, it really pisses off the weekenders, I tell you.
Perky goth.
Perky goth, ooh.
Perky goth is a goth subset.
Okay.
Where'd you
get Dr. Joy on to tell us all about it?
It depends if you're a Mogadon goth or an amphetamine goth.
Yeah.
You can be incredibly posy and pretend to be upset all the time, or you could just be off your face and having a fun laugh and...
And chewing your teeth to pieces.
And chewing your teeth to pieces and having spontaneous bleeding.
Gurning. Combustion.
Or you can sit around posing being like, I'm so miserable.
Mm. Oh, the angst.
Yeah, a bit like a modern-day emo.
Oh, the angst. Yeah.
In case anyone who's listening hasn't realised, we don't actually have anything specific to talk about tonight.
You let on! I was waiting for someone to notice.
It's fairly... Well, they're not going to tell us, are they?
And we had no emails.
Oh,
don't tell them that.
That's not strictly true.
No, we just can't deal with one of them today. We're going to have to do it next week.
That's because it's not an email.
It was an email.
No, it was a DCC.
Audio. No, I got it by email.
Yeah. Originally, it was a DCC from Sonic Coop.
We've had audio
feedback.
Sonic
Coop, we're not ignoring you. We will play it.
Yes, we're just not very prepared this week.
I thought it was excellent audio feedback as well.
The first one, and it's brilliant.
Yeah, so if anyone else wants to try and...
Yeah, we want more.
I lolled.
As much as he lolled?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I think he WTF lolled, though.
That one bit where he said that one thing, I lolled.
Oh yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, everybody else will know what the hell we're talking about.
Lord save me.
Next week.
Yes.
Yay. Oh, yeah, next week I should be spodcasting from Scotland, home of the brave and all that.
Do they have the internet in Scotland then?
I'm taking my own.
Ah, you're taking your own.
Taking my own internets with me.
Make sure you take the latest one on a floppy.
It's okay. I've actually got it on a USB nubbin. The whole internet.
Do they have USB out there?
I'm taking a laptop.
Okay.
Yeah, but they probably call it something like USB.
And now it's time. That's good. And now it's time for the Buckfast poem. Bucky Bucky gets you steaming. Bucky Bucky gets you weeming.
Is this actually a real thing, or are you just making it up as you go along?
That's actually a famous Glaswegian poem. Bucky Bucky gets you steaming. Bucky Bucky gets you weeming.
Or women.
That's it. Yeah.
Everybody
that's the poem.
Wow.
It is bold and it is beautiful. its colour so divine. 'Tis not the sash I write about, but Buckfast, tonic wine. Another Bucky poem. I'm sure there's lots of Bucky poems.
No, that one's far too erudite.
Yes.
And eloquent. And normally it's something along the lines of petty. And you go, what?
Okay.
Look at the Caesar Latin.
Oh, God. Shall we break with tradition and have the music on time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll give us an idea to actually think of something else to talk about that's not... Ah, Retreat was written at the end of a few days' retreat at Buckfast Abbey. I'm not going to read proper poetry. I looked for Buckfast poetry and found poetry.
Ew.
So what's today's music then, Stutz?
Today we've gone with something rather traditional. I found...
Verdi's Requiem.
Not that traditional.
Not Cracker.
No.
It's a shame. I like Verdi's Requiem.
It's very related to the time of year.
Is it out of copyright?
Yes.
Traditional.
Very much so that we can play it. Yes, Natalie Brown, who... I think... Have we played Natalie Brown? No, we might not have done, actually. Natalie Brown, she's got a very sort of Mariah Carey-type voice, but good.
Oh, right, as I was saying, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, God, don't open with iTunes. Go away.
You double-click.
See? You put iTunes near your computer and it takes control!
Oh, he's telling me it is. It started playing and everything. Stop.
Of a hammer hitting a keyboard means, shut the fuck up!
I like iTunes.
You would.
I like iTunes as well. It's just a pain in the ass when you want to queue stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway. Right, so this is...
Moving on,
this is Natalie Brown with her recording of Jingle Bells, which is, you know, using the traditional words, unfortunately, but it's still pretty good.
What, no Batman smells, no Joker?
Yeah, none of that, no.
Robin Leg.
Yeah.
No. I like it. Robin Leg version is a classic.
Okay.
Yeah, we should play that.
Anyway, let's play this instead.
Go on then!
So, Natalie Brown, Jingle Bells. Enjoy.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, all the way it's jingle bells. Jingling through the snow in one horse open sleigh.
Jingle Bells. There you go.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I'm going to need a link to that for the show notes.
Dig one out, alright?
Alright.
You know that Grand Prix Legends thing?
Oh, yeah.
The what?
The computer
Grand
game.
Grand Prix Legends computer game, famous for the fact that Jared once wrote a review of it on Amazon.
Oh, now I've got to find that. Thanks.
My pleasure. I've been playing that again.
Good. You've been playing it in Formula 1 1967.
Nerdenhoodie yeah. ringy what's
Nürburgring.
It? That's it.
I have to learn the Nürburgring in 3 weeks.
You're going to be racing against 8-minute demons in 1967 Formula 1 cars, and you're going to be there in your little red Ferrari going, I'm at 12 minutes to me.
No, if I can get under 10 minutes a lap, which, face it, Clarkson can do.
Sorry, 10 minutes a lap? How long is the bloody thing?
There's 170 or more corners.
That's beside the point. How long is it?
Did you ever see the episode of Top Gear? With the Nürburgring in it, where he did a lap in 10 minutes.
Diesel or something.
That's the track.
No, that's not all the track. The Nordschleife thingamajig is most of the track.
The Northern Ring, yeah.
But it's not the full Nürburgring of 1967 Formula One.
Yeah. And these little cars can do it in 8 minutes.
Blimey.
With no downforce, no grip.
And Baker light tyres.
Yeah. Just and sideways.
And you need to learn that without traction control.
And airborne.
And you're going to have great fun learning that track. So you've got 3 weeks to do it.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, next week we will ask you your lap time.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
And I'll say, well, I've not actually done a full one yet without crashing, but I feel like I've almost got it.
Yeah, feel like that.
Because I did some practice in my little Ferrari, right? Because I wanted a car that wasn't too hard, but that was still vaguely competitive.
So you don't want the Lotus, because that's just...
The Lotus is a madman's machine.
The Brabham's too heavy in F1.
The Brabham?
Or is it underpowered?
No, the problem with the Brabham is that it's a Formula 2 chassis with a Formula 1 engine.
Yeah.
So they tune it down so the chassis doesn't warp. And it makes it really nimble and nippy.
Yeah, but underpowered.
But yeah, kind of not got the legs of the others.
Which means you're kind of.
It was the Honda that was the.
Oh, the blue.
Overpowered and
the
overweight.
Van.
Yeah.
The Ford Transit.
Basically. But no, I was taking my little Ferrari around Monza to learn how to play the game again, because it's remarkably hard, and we never really played it in Formula One mode that much. If ever.
No, that's right, because it was too damned hard.
And Formula 2, or Advanced Trainer, was just too much fun.
It really is. Far too much fun.
For us, it was where all the fun was. But,
It was close racing.
Yeah, which is what you want. But, so I've been taking my Ferrari around Monza, and I grabbed my replay of a couple of laps, and my... set up, and I posted them to the Crash Test Dummies forum and said, if anyone's got a minute, you know, watch this and tell me what I'm doing right and wrong. And got some very good positive feedback about stuff. And
it's good to have a community where you can do that.
It is, and they really are a top bunch over there. I race with them every week.
I raced with them once.
You did, yeah, you should come back.
Yeah, I know I should. It's difficult.
It is difficult because
they play on New York hours. I can do it whenever Vic goes away for the weekend.
Yeah,
I can stay up Friday really late and at 3 a.m. finally get some practice laps in. It's a bit tricky.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So I mean, the race I had a really good first half lap.
That was Donington, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great fun.
I obviously know how to start that track better than Bob
did.
Yeah, because he's very fast on the track, but hasn't had as many starts on it as I have.
Yeah, maybe. Hey, well, have you heard about the sweet deal he's just landed?
Go on.
Do you know what he's doing at the moment?
Are we allowed to say?
Yeah, he posted it to the forum. It's public.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, okay.
Go on then.
And also it was announced on the R-Factor website.
Is he by any chance doing something for R-Factor?
He is, yes. He's writing the official manual.
Oh,
nice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, goody.
So they've got a news item to that. It's a very, very interesting read, because it's not just going to say things like, and then you click this button to open this menu, and this button does that.
Driving technique and that sort of thing, I suppose.
Yeah, they're telling Excellent. You how to drive a car and how to set one up.
Nice.
With, I think it was with GPL. At one point when you bought the game, you got the strategy guide for free.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just a book on how to set up a car. I don't think it even mentioned GPL anywhere in the book.
It was just a technical manual on setting up a 1967 Formula One car.
I believe it may have been.
Isn't that something everyone knows how to do?
You'd think.
Yeah.
Yeah, the rebound rates and stuff like that.
I found out I was about 2 or 3 seconds a lap slower at Monza than these demon guys were turning in the same car. So I think I'm almost there.
Yeah.
And one guy said that I have good control of the car. How's that? I was shaft.
Well, I found it really entertaining when I dropped into R Factor after playing GPL for years, and dropped into R Factor, spun the car, and found myself picking it back up.
Yeah.
Saving
scary,
the spin. Yeah. And you suddenly realise, hang on, why didn't I crash there? And all you do is you lose a second or two instead of losing
instead
the 6
of
to
your
18.
Win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because front half of your car.
That's the one thing I don't like about R Factor, and it's not R Factor's fault, it's the fact that you're driving cars with wings. When you come off the track and you plant it into a wall, you lose bits of the wing and you have to pit.
Well, that's the car sponsored by Red Bull.
Sponsored by Red Bull?
It gives you
with
wings.
With wings? Oh, God. It's
sponsored by Claire Rainham, actually.
Shove an owl in your fanny thing with wings. Is that a Dawn French?
I don't even want to know.
Yeah, I think it was Dawn Bell. Dawn Bell? I was reading a Red Bull and thinking, yeah, it was Dawn French who did the, why do I want wings? I want to strap an owl to my knickers or something. Back in the day.
Thing is, if you're going to talk about Dawn French, I'm going to get into trouble.
Why?
Because I'm going to make comments about...
Go on then.
Well, because I think, as far as I know, she still vehemently denies it.
Ah, of course. Yes, I know what you're going to make comments about.
Her taste for the carpet.
Oh, right, okay.
She drinks in the furry cup, allegedly.
Man.
Yeah, but he's as... allegedly, it's a marriage of convenience.
Is it?
Allegedly.
According to who?
To whom?
State your
to
sources.
To whom? According to whom?
I'm English, I don't do proper English.
If I could quote sources, it wouldn't be a rumour, would it?
Well, you must have heard it somewhere.
Yes,
so therefore
I did.
You have a source.
He probably made it up.
No, I did not.
Okay.
I used to work for a tabloid press agency.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, of course you did, yes.
We used to have the lowdown on an awful lot of people.
Or the
a lot of it,
lowdown.
The lowdown that you know is true, but that you could not print because you cannot prove it. But you know it's true because you've seen it happen yourself.
So what have you seen with Lenny Henry and Dawn French happen?
Personally? Myself?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Okay.
So do we have to intersperse this with the words allegedly a lot?
The whole thing's a rumour. That's all I'm saying.
Well, they were interfield hockey players.
Yeah.
You, but I can't afford to be
and it was so hush-hush. It was so quiet.
Everyone was just so quiet about it.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, that's why I say, if you're going to mention Dawn French, I'm going to get into trouble.
Speaking of which, worth saying congratulations to Elton John and David Furnish. Legal at last.
The buggers are legal now, what more are they after?
Oh, yeah, now I've got to find Tom Robinson lyrics.
And congratulations to Spike and Yukio.
Oh, who are both fathers.
Oh, yes.
Again, Spike is again, Yukio is for the first time.
Can we just please clarify that not together?
No.
Because the mind boggles.
It really does.
Anyway.
Yes.
Congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. Spike, and congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. Yukio.
You don't even know the names of the children, do you?
I do.
I've got a congratulations as well.
Okay.
Congratulations to Quentin from the place where I work for managing to get home from the Christmas do and not remember how.
Well done, Quentin.
Yeah.
Marvellous.
Yes,
And when he woke up, his underpants were on back to front and he felt like he'd been drugged.
Actually, he did feel like he'd been drugged. He woke up with a flat tyre and a nosebleed.
Who was it that we know that woke up with a sore ass? Who was it that we know that woke up with a sore ass and no memory of what happened? Was it Fred?
Hi, Fred.
Hi, Fred. George Montrell and Ryan Edward White, welcome to the world.
The world.
Yep. You are welcome to the world.
Are we talking Woodley, Fred?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I don't know this story.
I might be making it up.
Okay.
You might be.
Allegedly, then. Just say allegedly.
Allegedly. If it's good enough for... I've been out of the country far too long. If it's good enough for Have I Got News For You, it's good enough for this podcast.
Absolutely. Have I Got News For You who have the full weight of the BBC legal department and lawyers behind them?
That's not very heavy, though, is it?
Allegedly.
And didn't they get the right to call somebody a... And let me get this right. The wording is... We're allowed to say it. Yeah, it's okay, I'll find it. Much as we're allowed to call Jeffrey Archer a liar...
I think we are, in fact, thanks to them, yes.
Yes. Well, another thing is actually thanks to him being convicted of being a liar.
Yeah.
That's a good point, actually. I have noticed recently on... there's been some major court cases that have been in the news a lot, and they say... has been accused of all the way leading up to the trial, but as soon as they're actually convicted of something,
it
switches to they did it.
Yeah.
I'm dying for the time when someone is proven innocent, they turn around and sue all the news organisations.
No, you can't.
Why not? They lied.
No, they didn't. If you were in fact found guilty, and therefore you did it.
Well, no, because if it's then later proven that you didn't... No, it was proven
in a jury of your peers and decided you did it. They can recant later, but they don't have to. There's no legal reason to do so.
Yeah. I'll try and sue.
Now, the Conservative MP, Rupert Allison, is the only person in the UK who can be called a conniving little shit without fear of being successfully sued for libel.
Why?
Because he's a conniving little shit, allegedly.
Yes, but why is the proof?
The quote in Have I Got 1997 For You, the book, they printed, given Mr. Allison's fondness for pursuing libel actions, there are also excellent legal reasons for not referring to him as a conniving little shit. Which is okay. He then sued them for libel, and he lost. And because he lost...
It means it's true.
Yes.
So
you are basically he took it to court and a judge said, no, in fact
you are a conniving little shit. So he lost the ability to successfully sue anybody for it ever again. So you can now call him a conniving little shit legally. Rupert Allison, Conservative MP, you are a conniving little shit. Welcome to this podcast. See, it's a safe. We're
just in case. Just in case that's complete hearsay and is not the case, he said that, not me.
Yes, it was. Yes, Spags
this may
said
not
that,
represent
not...
the views of.
No, fuck off.
Yes.
And I was going to try not to swear this week as well after last week's
fuckathon.
Yeah. I was in a bit of a mood last week.
I missed that.
I was in a bit of a mood because my
thank God.
Network was playing up.
Your lol internets were broken.
Is this sorted really now then? I assume it is because you're still here.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Rock stable ever since I stole a network card off somebody.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Rock stable. like,
apart from the problem you had earlier today.
That problem, my Danger Will Robinson error, is caused by, I believe, it's the chipset of the SATA raid card. It's the cheapest one, and I hear lots of people are having problems with it in all three BSDs, not just
Nova 6. Oh, hang on.
Remember it used to reboot my machine?
You moved it to a different slot.
It used to reboot my machine.
Yep.
And then just perma-reboot, because every time it tried to frisk it, it then died rebooted again.
I had a SCSI card that was playing up, and all I did
moving
change...
it into a different slot doesn't help.
Okay, help with me.
Yeah, it's not the slot that's the problem, it's the chipset on the card, and it's the drivers within FreeBSD that don't like it. And nobody's really willing to knuckle down and hack it together to actually be slow but stable, because anybody who cares enough has already gone out and bought the next card out, which doesn't have the same chipset, i.e. a reliable card. So in FreeBSD 5, it used to reboot the machine and not let it restart. In FreeBSD 6, it throws out a Danger Will Robinson error.
And that's an improvement of sorts.
And then locks up the machine badly.
Oh, right. Maybe not then.
Yes. So what kind of SATA card is that, so people can afford it, avoid it?
It's the High Point Rocket Raid 1520 or something.
Hey, it's not rocket science, you know.
It probably is, actually.
Speaking of rocket science...
Oh, I was very disappointed by a comment that Beagle 2 Man made on the radio this week.
It is, in fact, the High Point Rocket Raid 1520. Dual channel PCI to serial ATA. Can you hear that?
Yep.
Just about.
And I won't put a link on it, I'll just put the word avoid next to it.
Yeah.
Won't bother linking to it.
Wide berth!
So what was the comment from Beagle 2 Man?
Oh, Beagle 2, they found it. Well, they reckon they found it.
They spent how many billions on getting it there?
Well, they spent a very long time looking at photographs from something that's orbiting Mars, taking photographs. And it was very funny. He said, we've studied photographs that are many, many hundreds of times greater than that you can get from your digital camera. Which was comment number one, which I found quite amusing. But he then went on to say, what we think has happened is because they found this little blob and it's in a crater. And they think what's happened is it's gone into the side of the crater instead of falling on its bottom. And this is almost word for word what he said. Anyone who's crashed a car in the side will know that's not a good thing. I'm driving to work thinking, you don't say that. Comparing a rocket, like, several thousand, million,
it's like
God knows how far away it is, to crash in your car.
It's like the satellite that was up there, something or other that was up there supposed to be communicating back to Earth. And it needed protecting from some solar rays or something, briefly. Some sunspot activity or something.
Yeah.
So what they said was, some bright spark came up with the idea, point your antenna away from the Earth and await further instructions, and guess what? It's still waiting.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, if you're spending that much money to send something up there, you would bulletproof the thing. You would not say, oh, well, it's bound to fall on its bottom, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that just me?
A little from column A, a little from column B. I think it's when you're playing with shooting shit off to Mars. All credit.
Well, you're not shooting it off to Mars though. It's only descending from a satellite that's going round Mars. You know, it's not.
It doesn't have to go all the way there itself. It's got a taxi 9/10 of the way there. It's just got to get from the curb to the front door.
Hang on. Is it on Mars?
Yes.
So they did quite well in
they're putting this on Mars. I mean, Mars, you know that dot you can see from your window sometimes with a telescope, you might make out that it's actually not a star. Mars. This is quite impressive that they just got it up there. I mean, if it falls on its ass and doesn't work a bit.
This happens quite a lot these days. They get stuff out to Mars.
But they put it on Mars.
Jared, I acknowledge the impressivity of the feat of getting this thing up to Mars and actually landing it on the planet. Yeah. However,
landing, I think, is a stretch.
All right, crashing it into the planet. However, you have to ask yourself the question: what was the fucking point if it's not going to work when it gets there?
I'm absolutely certain. I remember seeing animations of how this thing was supposed to land. And it just before it landed, it popped out a whole bunch of balloons. So it was just one giant balloon. I'm absolutely certain that was Beagle 2. But how did that land wrong? It's just one big balloon made up of lots of little balloons. How did it land on its side or whatever? Anyway, they're going to try again, apparently.
Great. All for it. All these great endeavours, sending shit off into outer space, I am all for. And build a space elevator, please.
I want to send the first web hosting company server to Mars.
Well, you had enough of it. Get thee away from me!
Actually, yeah, at the moment, yes, I have.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Silly, silly thing.
Yes. Failed to send email from up there, you motherfucker.
Incidentally, the host is concerned about me wanting to go with version 6.
Right. Stuff the host.
That could be an argument. Yeah, I intend to be saying that. Stuff the host.
Who's the host?
I'd rather not say.
Okay. Have you considered Colo Guys?
I have considered many things, but I've also considered that I'm broke.
Have you considered Colo Guys?
The company doesn't make enough money for me to move at the moment.
Yeah, I was only thinking of it because the guy who owns it is sat in our IRC channel.
Yes, I know. that means a couple of things. It means buying a server, which takes money I don't have.
Yeah.
It means shipping having it. Two servers for at least 1 month.
Yeah, whilst you transition.
Which costs money I don't have. Against what's probably going to be a $65 one-off charge to leave it where it is and just fix it there.
Yeah.
Well, there's a solution.
So, Yukio, if you're listening, which you should be, make us a better offer.
if you can do me a deal on a dedicated server, I'd be interested, but I don't think he does that, does he?
And then we can move. Then we can watch SharedServer.net, who are great, by the way.
They do move work over there. When they work.
Yeah. And speaking of space, did anybody watch Space Cadets?
I missed the first one and thought I'll catch up, and I never bothered.
I missed the last two. I need to use the magic of UK Nova.
Yeah.
Yep. UK Nova, there was a wonderful magic of BitTorrent behind it, is how I got all the episodes, and we watched it all the day after it was on.
So, I'm sorry, but how gullible do you have to be?
Not very.
Very early on, one of the guys, when the first time they go outside, one of them turns to the other and says, "I'm sure it's not cold enough to be Russia."
Yeah, but that's... The thing is they think Siberia when they see Russia. They don't think, oh, just next to Iran.
Oh, yeah, no. But
the Black Sea.
Russia this time of year is cold. They're supposed to be in Moscow. Moscow is known to be snowy place.
They're not. Yeah. They're supposed to be in the bottom left-hand corner of Russia.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
And they show it on the map.
I missed the first few.
And they do explain that the guy quickly breezes over it. I won't go into too much detail in case people wanted to catch up with it.
But even the lecturer made mistakes because they were talking about where something was filmed.
2001: A Space Odyssey.
And the lecturer goes, "Oh yeah, that was just down the road from here, wasn't it?"
No, he said that was filmed here in England, and no one noticed. Yeah. It doesn't require that much gullibility. Yeah. Why would you disbelieve it?
If you've got no reason to disbelieve it, yeah, why would you?
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Like the actor they sent on the supposed orbital trip, as they were taking off, he was sitting there at the front going, "How much would you pay me not to tell them all right now?"
Give the what was it? Yeah.
It's got to be
give my agent $250,000 in used bills to my agent, and I think he said his agent's name, and the agent's name he gave was Christina Hamilton.
wasn't it? Yeah. Anyway.
And that brings us right round to
speaking of libel.
I got news for you. Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of libel.
Oh, dear.
I'm convinced those two are seriously dodgy, you know.
They're not that dodgy. Did you see...
Yes.
They are dodgy. But I think if you watch the Louis Theroux episode with the Hamiltons, fantastic.
Do you know what it made me think of?
The deuce, doesn't he?
Do you remember the episode of Alan Partridge? These are sex people, Liv!
Oh, yeah. Dan!
He finished.
That was the Sex People episode.
Okay.
It was Dan who...
Don't Lexi. Do Alan Partridge, I have to say.
Lexi, as I call them.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Japanese Mercedes.
It, completely.
And that sex person, Dan, is in Green Wing as Guy Secretan.
God, yes. Oh, that was a good show.
Should be coming back soon.
Oh, excellent. Wonderful.
Anyway, since we've only got a few minutes left, and I've got another song I want to play.
Oh, yeah.
For the lovely people for Christmas. What are you guys up to for Christmas? You doing anything special?
Getting drunk.
I'll be in...
I said special.
I'll be in Scotland.
Special. Okay. Scotland.
I'll be up in Scotland visiting pals, family, and friends.
You're on there for New Year as well, aren't you?
And New Year, yep. There should be two spodcasts from Scotland. I'll be taking a microphone, a laptop,
we get
and
our shit
the
together.
Internets. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'll be on Windows, but
don't partial wireframe.
Oh God, I might take Vic. I'll make sure that Vic's laptop. She's got an iBook that she's taking, so I'll make sure it's got Skypey on it.
Skypey.
I call it Skypey just to annoy Scott. Skypey. Hi, Scott.
Bush instant messenger.
So, this next song. Tell us about this. Moving swiftly on.
No. Ease up. Easy tiger. All that stuff. What are you doing for Christmas?
Me?
Oh, good point. What are you doing for Christmas?
No, the other stuff.
Getting drunk, man. getting drunk.
Getting bladdered.
Let's see, we've got... friends and not so close friends coming on Christmas Day. Boxing Day I'll be in Northampton for reasons that you guys should know quite well. Northampton's a nice place.
No, it isn't. I lived there for a year.
Okay, when you only go there twice a year, it's a nice place.
Ah, right.
I used to go there quite often when I had the Gurn guys as customers. So.
Oh, you've got a car, haven't you?
Eh? I've
got a
what?
Car.
I have got a car, yeah.
Yeah,
which
you
means
need
you can
one if you...
escape.
No, oh, no, yeah. No, you need one if you go to Northampton, because if you want to get to the shops, there's no pavement between town centre and where the shops are.
Oh, I don't know where... we're going to be next to the cathedral, so I don't know... I don't know where that is.
There's a road, but there's no pavement on the road.
Excellent. Nice and dangerous.
Because it's one of those big out-of-town shopping centres, which is just, like, on the other side of the town.
I'm not going there to shop. I'm going there to do the family thing.
Yeah, to do the family.
Less of that, boy.
Yeah.
I was going to say, are you French?
Excuse me.
Hi.
You don't, well, the particular place I'm going to be in Northampton, you don't do that sort of thing.
Would you like to stumble over your words a bit more?
Yeah. No, that's what choir boys are for.
Okay. This is getting into a very dodgy area, and I feel like I might have to explain stuff.
Nah.
Well, your former conviction for fiddling with choir boys. You don't need to convey. You don't need to explain that.
Allegedly.
Oh dear.
Can I just say? I have to say this now that you guys have completely, you know, marred my reputation.
Did we have sullied your battleship?
We didn't mar. We sullied your reputation.
I will be spending Boxing Day with my uncle at Northampton Cathedral. The reason for this is that my uncle is the Bishop of Northampton. Just to clear everything up.
Okay.
So, Let's just move on, yeah?
And also, for those American listeners, wasn't one of your ancestors a vice president of the United States?
Yes.
There you go.
George Mifflin.
Yeah, there you go.
Merkin Muffley.
Yeah. Yes. So happy my mother didn't hear about that until after I was named.
Oh, God, yeah, that would have been funny.
Called Merkin Muffley.
There's a very good Wikipedia page on him.
We can call you Merkin Muffley from now on.
We can.
Oh, God.
And you can send us a message to the bar.
Yeah. Moving swiftly on by any chance, Stutz.
Yes. Trying very hard.
With what little dignity you've got left.
The song.
Clutched in your hands with your underpants.
You do know, guys, I can cut you off at any time. Right.
Can I play the song quick?
Okay. This is a song. This is a Christmas song by Matthew Ebel, which, if you're a regular listener, you will know is one of my favourite artists at the moment.
Hi, Matthew Ebel.
Oh, dear God.
It's called Walk a Thousand Miles, and it has absolutely nothing to do with Two Guys from Glasgow. Or underpants. Actually, underpants? No, don't remember the underpants.
You weren't wearing any.
Anyway. Oh, God. Listen to this and ignore them.
Red eye flight come. I'll be leaving here at 6 a.m. to see my flight. The bitter cold won't make me crack. Once I get there, cause I would walk a thousand miles. I would walk a thousand miles to be back home for Christmas. Coming any way I can to leave this town and through the air. I got 8 long hours to spare, but I don't care, cause I would walk a thousand miles. I would walk a thousand miles to be back home for Christmas. This longing to see a baby born this morning, miles away from their locale. Christ is coming here with no plane, with no train, just a will that still, you know, he found me. So I would walk a thousand miles, snow or rain, or check out lines of traffic jams. And I would walk a thousand miles. Through the snow or rain or winter, walk a thousand miles. I would walk a thousand miles back home for Christmas.
Yeah? I'll be back.
Sorry, go on.
I'll be back now. Cool.
Yeah.
Interesting church related things about Northampton, you know.
Oh, go on then.
Right, Northampton's one of the only places in Britain where you can find, in the same town, a 12th century round Templar church.
Okay.
And an much older Saxon long church thing.
When you said interesting, you meant to you.
For anyone interested in history and stuff.
So Megan was telling me today that you'd pointed her at some old ruin near
Some Peel. Old ruin? It's a What's Roman it? Fucking amphitheatre!
That's the one.
Great. That's the one.
Near Basingstoke, of all places.
That's
next
it.
Next to an abandoned city. There's a Roman city.
I don't do
There's
history.
A Roman city.
I don't do history,
right?
I do future.
Called Silchester.
It started.
Right.
Yeah.
Down near Basingstoke, and it was abandoned when the Saxons invaded because the Romans were kicked out by people who did not live in towns. So the city was abandoned. It's a very, very interesting city because it was a Roman city before the Romans invaded.
Before the Romans invaded.
Yes.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, it's really.
For which I thank you.
Fascinating stuff.
Yeah. No, I have to say, history is. Well,
you got to understand that Spanish is actually a history geek.
A bit.
Yeah, you're getting it now.
You're getting it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See?
As is everybody else. Share the pain.
Yeah, so that's what you get for going to Northampton.
For a show without anything happening.
I didn't choose to go, I just wanted to say.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think yeah, because for a show that's had no subject at all, we've actually filled a page full of show notes already.
Wow.
Have we? Cool.
It's a small.
We need to do something about the website over Christmas.
I'm going to see if I can.
So I've got 3 days off, which is, you know,
amazing. I'm off work. Today was my last day at work. I'm flying to Scotland tomorrow. Woohoo!
I've had an idea. I've
got to work tomorrow and Friday.
You know, there's a problem with the forum and people signing up to it.
Yes.
How about if we turn off email confirmation and moderate it?
Is there not? There's not an option in there to stop it using the PHP mail command, is there? Make it go directly to an SMTP server.
You put localhost in the SMTP server box.
Well, there you go. Do that, it'll work.
I told you that last time, and you went, no, it's fine.
I never said that. It was fine last time.
It was fine.
It was,
Until it balked. I'll try
It's because I'm using such an old version of FreeBSD at the moment. That's got to be what it is.
That's what I'll do.
Good idea.
And if that doesn't work, I'll manually... allow people to join if they sign up. I'll watch it.
Yeah, we'll trust people.
Can you say that with an approval?
Pimp the forums.
Yeah, go to forums.spodcast.org. Yeah. Forum or forums? That is spodcast@spodcast.org.
Or for attachments.
spodcast@gmail.com.
Yes.
Dead easy.
Well, okay.
Skipped 39 times. Seriously, you need a faster Mac.
Oh, you do need a faster Mac. We were discussing this while people were listening to Matthew Ebel. G5 Tower. Oh, well, no, not G5 Tower. What am I talking about? Intel Tower. Although that'll be
this time next year.
Yeah, this time next year. If good time to be in the market for a new Mac this time next year.
Yeah.
I'll be going.
Well, it'll actually be January.
No,
February,
because the Power Macs won't be out then.
I'll be moving house around then, hopefully.
And I'm going to get the Mac Mini Intel when it comes out.
Because you've already got your G5. Yeah.
But I want an Intel.
So you're going to get a faster Mini, nice.
To go under the telly.
Supercharged.
Somehow I don't think the Mini's going to be faster than the G5.
Do you not?
I mean, I would love it to be.
Yeah.
Don't see it happening, to be honest.
I can see it doing some things faster. Just not
that crash.
If stop now, we can beat the 60 minutes.
Well done. Okay. Should we say goodbye, everybody?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Happy winter. Bye,
Ned. Christmas.
Happy winter. Bye.
See you next
week. Merry Christmas. None of this happy holidays crap. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.